As we remain standing, let us pray. Lord, help us to mature in our faith, to be passionate in our relationship with you and with those that you place in our lives. Let our hearts always be open to the transforming power of the Spirit and be conformed to the image of Christ. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How's Adam doing? He's doing good. So imagine you are in a very deep sleep and the phone rings. This may have happened to you. Through the fog, a trusted friend tells you that one of your sons, whom you've not spoken to in years, is on his way to kill you. You've never had that type of phone call, have you? No, neither have I. Not yet, anyway. You're disoriented, but you know that you have to get away. The sad thing is, you're not totally surprised. You know the crimes he's committed. In David's time, killing his half-brother for raping one of your daughters. You know that he was always a hothead, growing up prone to violence. You really believe he is coming in anger and hatred to murder you. You jump out of bed, you grab your car keys, you jump in the car, and you get out of there as fast as you can. No wallet, no credit card, no cash, only the clothes on your back. You can't go to another family member's home because you don't want to put them in danger. And you've already been to the police, and they said they couldn't do anything until he actually does something. Your mind is racing. You're frantic. What do you do? Where do you go? You're so tired, you pull into a rest stop to catch your breath. And it is when your heart has stopped racing and you are sitting in your car in the dark that you realize your life is unraveling. What a mess you've made. And you begin to pray. Where did I go wrong, God? You cry out, God, my God, I search for you. And that is where King David finds himself. And in a flash, he knows that he must shoulder the blame for this nightmare. In this third Sunday of Lent, Psalm 63 is the background for David's tragic family life. It is written as he's fleeing from his son Absalom, who is seeking to murder him and take over his kingdom. David was reaping the seeds of his forbidden affair with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband, Uriah. His actions so many years ago had opened the door for tragedy to ravage his family, and it did. The prophet Nathan had warned him, "Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his sight? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house." Samuel 19, verse 10. And in his desperation, David cries out, "I search for you, Lord. My whole body desires you in a dry and tired land. No water anywhere." David fleeing for his life, not knowing if he will lose everything. And he was devastated. Lonely, longing for a sense of God. Each one of us have experienced times of devastation and despair. Those days when we can barely put one foot in front of the other, when we go through the motions of living, when our spiritual life is like a dry and tired life, no water anywhere. The death of a loved one, caring for an ailing parent or spouse, the death of a parent, the death of a child, the breakup of a marriage, the loss of a job, compromised health, chronic pain. Maybe our children aren't living up to their potential. All of those can leave us overwhelmed. So where is the hope? Where is the light? And like David, we find ourselves longing for God's presence. David's peace came when he took time to focus on God. He took his eyes off the situation and the circumstance and focused on God. Whenever I ponder you in my bed, whenever I meditate upon you in the middle of the night. He uses the word ponder and meditate to describe focusing on God. He knows that God has been a help, and he shouts the joy and the protection of his wings. His whole being clings to him. His strong hand upholds me, he declares. David knows he's in big trouble. He knows that he has not always done what is right in the sight of God. And yet Paul in Acts refers to him as a man after God's own heart. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do anything and everything I want him to do." How is that possible? He's made a mess. Made a mess of things. In the middle of what seemed impossible circumstances, he cries out to God. But this is God. In God's eyes, we will never be known by the worst thing we've ever done. In spite of our lies, our cheating, our hatred, our resentments, our judgment, always falling short, God can and does use us. No matter how many times we try and convince ourselves that God will never forgive us, think about David. David remembers the satisfying times he had with God. He compares them to a rich dinner. He has seen God's power and glory. He has defeated Goliath. Maybe we need to remember the Goliaths we've defeated in our own lives. Remember those times. Meditate and give thanks for those times when we know for sure that God was with us. There is a classic story from the gospel of the man who was sitting by the pool for 30 years. Can't get into the pool. None of his friends will take him. And Jesus says, "Do you want to be well? Take up your mat." The mat being the circumstances. Take up your mat and walk. The circumstances didn't change, but he took them and he walked with them and he focused on Christ. There are so many times when God has poured his love over us, when God has brought us out of difficulties. God whispers, "Gaze on me. Glance at your problems. This is the secret of living victoriously." We all tend to look at our problems for prolonged periods of time. Has anyone ever done that? I think it's called squirrely brain. We think about them. We talk to our friends about them. And then we stay awake thinking about them and occasionally glancing over to God for help. However, God has called us to live supernaturally. And he has given us the power to do so, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter who lives in us and enables us to live and love beyond ourselves, to rise above our circumstances and natural tendencies. This Lent, be intentional and ask the Holy Spirit to help you fix your gaze on the Lord. Invite the Spirit to alert you whenever you get overly focused on your problems so they can redirect your attention on God. Problems aren't going to go away. And this is hard work because it is not only unnatural, but it is also countercultural. There's so much pressure on us to focus, to pay attention to our problems, and then buy something on Amazon. So we need the assurance of the Spirit continually. Ask again and again and again. Ask again and again for the Spirit's help in dealing with your difficulties as needed. But save the bulk of our attention to Christ, our constant companion. And Jesus wants us to call upon the Holy Spirit. "I will pray," he says in John 14, "I will pray for the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. David's life was a portrait of success and failure, and it highlights the fact that he was far from perfect. What made David a cut above the rest was that his heart was pointed towards God. We are far from perfect, but let's fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And the writer of Hebrews reminds us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of God. Stay in communication with the Lord as you persevere through challenging times. If you're having difficulties in this area, ask someone to hold you up in prayer until you're back on your spiritual feet. We are filled with the divine presence, the Holy Spirit. And there is a deeper, fuller relationship that we can find. And this is a fuller and deeper relationship we can find than with any other human being. For no one knows us entirely, but God knows us totally. No one knows us entirely, but God knows us totally. Every step we take, every word we speak, every thought we have, every breath we breathe is under the Lord's watchful, embracing presence. For in God we live, you know this one, and move and have our being. When I think of all this, Paul says, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. And your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should. Here we go. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. And may you experience the love of Christ through it, although it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And now, glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish more than we could ask or imagine. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.